Today's reading is from Ephesians 4, 1-16, and it's unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descends is the very one who ascended higher than the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together, and by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. It's great to have Jörg with us this morning, who's going to share God's word with us. Jörg, my apologies that we're getting you up so late, but I know you will keep us all awake, as you always do. So thank you, brother.
Good morning, everybody. It will be 20 minutes as usual, so fear not. And I think this morning's words that we had in the worship songs and the prayers that were offered all very much fit in perfectly with what I'm going to share this morning. The Lord is at work. It was a spirit-filled selection of songs this morning. Isn't it wonderful when we experience that? And one person said to me this morning, oh, you're today's entertainer, aren't you? And I thought, well, I'm not sure that I'm an entertainer, but I hope to make this entertaining. So today's passage deals with unity and maturity, as is indicated in the heading that was introduced by the Bible editors. You know, all these headings, they weren't there originally. You know, somebody just said, oh, I helpfully, sometimes unhelpfully, introduced something. Because it doesn't mention the fivefold ministry, which is the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. However, I will focus on maturity, because unity and also fivefold ministries, they're all subjects in their own right, and I will tackle them another time. So let me start with a cheesy story. And here it is true what I said to Phil this morning. My sermon is about cheese. So whilst living in North Africa, the only cheese we could buy is this, la vache qui rit, which is called what in this country? The laughing cow. Ha ha ha, indeed. Yeah, so one year when we were still living in North Africa, we came back for a visit. So we went out with Diane's mom and we went out to buy some bread and cheese. And she suggested that we buy some Dairy Lee, which she saw there. Now, can you imagine our reaction? You cannot be serious. John McEnroe had just played. You cannot be serious. Are you having a laugh? That is the only cheese we can get all the time when we live in North Africa. Where is the mature cheddar cheese? The extra mature cheddar cheese. We want something strong and pungent and tasty. And isn't that what we should be as Christians? Mature or extra mature? Yeah? So this is what it's about today. So let's explore what this text and other passages have to say about it. And my first point is this. Maturing is a process. Sometimes it doesn't harm to state the obvious. Maturing is a process and takes time. So if you haven't been a Christian for a very, very long time, don't expect to wake up one morning and go, woohoo, ha, I feel so mature, so extra mature, glory, 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 hallelujah. You're probably proud, but not very mature if you think that. That's not the way it works. However, if you're being asked to give advice, spiritual advice to other people, that might be a good indication that you are being considered mature. And sometimes the maturest advice you can give to somebody is simple. I remember a friend of mine said when he was a teenager, he was visiting friends in Kenya and he had a terrible accident, and the local authorities pulled him in and tried to convict him unlawfully and banging up in prison. And he said he got all sorts of hyper-spiritual advice, like, you know, the devil is at work. You know, you must stand against this and you must claim victory and then everything will be fine. And he said, you know what? The best advice I was given by an old lady who said to me just one line, these things sometimes happen in life. Spiritual advice doesn't have to be hyper complicated. Now, to illustrate the point that maturing takes time, let's have a look at Stanley Tucci's episodes on food in Italy. Anybody seen them? When he's gone to... No? Oh, what on earth do you watch people? Nothing, hopefully. Yeah, so he's gone to Italy and he's going to all the different regions and is doing exploring all the different types of food. So what do you reckon he will look at in this particular episode? Have one guess. Cheese! Il formaggio, indeed. So we will listen to some Italian, some Italiano, and become a bit more diverse. But listen carefully. I will ask you two questions at the end of the clip. So take it away. So, there you have it. My two questions are, how long do they wait for this cheese to mature? A decade or even over a decade, indeed. And what is the secret to its uniqueness? Whoa, 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 whoa. One person at a time, loudly. Somebody.
Cows.
Cows, yeah, but what about the cows? They're grazing at different altitudes, indeed, and that combined gives it its unique flavor. And that is exactly what we need as Christians as well. Different ingredients to mature us as Christians, and I'll explore some. Spiritual maturing is expressed as follows in our text in verse 13. Become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I don't know about you, but I looked at this and I thought, I don't really understand this. That doesn't make an awful lot of sense to me. So I looked at the original Greek, which suggests, as we mature to the full measure of Christ's maturity. And that makes an awful lot more sense to me, because that basic talks about emulating Christ, becoming like him, growing into his conformity, having the maturity that Christ has, being transformed into his likeness, and therefore displaying maturity. So how do we mature in practice? What is the first ingredient that was mentioned so clearly in the songs and in Richard's prayer as well? The scriptures. We primarily acquire knowledge of scripture through teaching at church like here, small groups, and your personal Bible study. If we know our scriptures, verse 14 will happen, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. And this verse is as relevant today as it was back then at the time of writing. We need discernment to figure out if there is cunning, craftiness, and deceitful scheming going on. You should be extremely suspicious. If somebody says, oh, I have this new revelation from Scripture. Really? Really? So, somebody said, some think that God made the earth out of nothing, but he didn't. He made it out of something. The substance used was faith. Really? That is just not true. That is kotzwollop. That's rubbish. Absolute rubbish. And the truth mentioned in verse 15 forms a clear contrast to the deceit that we're talking about in verse 14. Verse 15 asks us to speak the truth in love, or literally truthing in love, because truth, for once, is actually a verb. It's not a noun. That's quite amazing, isn't it? Truthing in love. What on earth does that mean? The word for love is agape, which a lot of you people know agape. It centers on the moral preference and divine love. So maybe instead of saying speaking the truth in love, we should say speaking and living the truth, because that is what God prefers. It's divine preference. Sometimes people shy away from speaking the truth because they say, oh, but we need to do it in love. And then we put a lot of water into the gospel and water it down. That doesn't help, people of God. That really doesn't help. We cannot compromise on the truth. We cannot water down the gospel. The gospel is the gospel and it will offend. That is its function. Otherwise, we might as well just stay at home and not talk to anybody ever. Ethical and moral instructions were given not to shackle us in, but to protect us, to protect society. God knows how quickly we go off the rails. There's story after story after story in the Bible about God's people saying, nah, God, I'm going to do my own thing. All the time, from the Tower of Babel to Moses ascending to get the Ten Commandments. What do the people do? They get impatient. God, this bloke, how long has he been up there? Surely he doesn't know what he's doing. Let's just make a golden calf. Let's just accumulate all the gold that we have. Let's make a golden calf and worship that. And Moses comes back and is so terrified, the tablets fall on the floor and break. God says to him, what have the people done? They can't wait for me. They cannot wait for me. The truth can set us free. That was in the songs as well. If we allow it to reign in our lives. Can you hear me? If we allow it to reign in our lives, you need to give it permission. You can block it if you want. It's not going to help you. And then we will not grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We live in dangerous times, people of God, because people are reading the Bible less and less and less. And if we are not filled with scriptures, we will not know how to live anymore. It's so much easier to just watch a video clip on the internet, isn't it? Or on YouTube, or whatever your social media is. So much easier, isn't it? But you need to read scripture. By the way, what do you eat for breakfast? Some people shout out what you have for breakfast. Huh? Weetabix? Somebody said Weetabix? Yeah, strong.
Aldi porridge.
Cereals. Anybody have toast? Toast, jam, yeah, all sorts of things. Anybody else eat anything else for breakfast?
Muesli.
Now, I'm tricking you, of course. Why on earth, in the middle of this, do I ask you what you're having for breakfast? Who is having this for breakfast? Who is having the Word of God? Oops, sorry. Who is having the Word of God for breakfast? Who has got spiritual hunger pangs for this? That's what we should have, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? How on earth are we going to get that? Only if we ask God to fill us with His Spirit and make us God-driven to explore the Scriptures. If you're trying to do this out of your own strength, you're going to give up very quickly. As many of us have experienced over the years, haven't we? So, every morning you wake up, God, give me your fire! Your interest to want to read the Word of God so I can learn more about you, so I can be corrected, I can be encouraged and be the person you want me to be. It's a discipline, isn't it? Or you look in the mirror and you go, oh, who's this person? I don't recognize this person. The Scripture has to come first. The Spirit has to come first. Don't just skip difficult passages because you can't figure them out. Delve into it. Try and find out. If you're not getting anywhere, ask the leadership team. This is what we are here for. We are here to empower and enable you. We are not here to give you rules and regulations. We are here to serve you. That is our role. We are here to make you stronger in Christ. Okay? So come and ask us. And do not overly rely on comforting passages. Of course, there are times in life when we need comforting passages, but not all the time. Don't just go there all the time. And knowing Scripture is very well, but pretty useless if we don't apply it. Yes? Amen? We need to apply it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's experience God's faithfulness by trusting Him in challenging circumstances. We sung about that. We sang about that this morning. Trusting Him in challenging circumstances. Everybody's got different challenges. Everybody has. And some seem more afflicted than others. They do. And I don't know why. But that's where we, as a family of God, can stand together and support one another, can't we? In prayer and in practical support. The trials in my life have been periods of significant spiritual growth because at times the only thing I could do is throw myself into the arms of God and say, Lord, help me. I am at the end of my wits. I don't know anymore. And that is a good place. That is a really good place. Christ should also determine our thought life. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 20 says, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. Good, balanced thinking will produce good, balanced behavior. How do you think about the other people? Wouldn't it be good to think the best of you and you and you and you and you and you? What does God see? That's the question you should ask yourself. A wonderful person who wants to be molded into His likeness and be the best for Jesus. That's how God sees you, and that's how we should see one another. It doesn't mean that we're not correcting one another. But to criticize is easy, isn't it? It's always the easiest, you know. Ah, that football manager, he should be sacked. You know, this one. Oh, you know, Phil didn't do X, Y, and Z on that day. Oh, the leadership didn't do this, this, and that. Oh, and they didn't sing that worship song. Okay, so my question is, what is your contribution to rectify the situation? If you see something that you think isn't working properly, make a contribution. Make a contribution. Let's be positive about one another. I'm not positivistic, by the way. I'm realistic. Now, Hebrews 5, 11 to 14 is a wonderful passage and gives us loads of information. We have much to say about this for information that is Christ's priesthood, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Aha, the babies, you know, they will experience this. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And there's three things we can learn from this. Number one, the Edessees had stopped being lifelong learners. That's what we would call that today. Therefore, they had to relearn the basics of Christianity, and they were compared to spiritual infants who needed milk and couldn't stomach solids. Number two, the author of Hebrews had expected them to be mature and incapable of distinguishing between good and evil. So discernment is one of the hallmarks of a mature Christian. And thirdly, the recipients of the epistle should be teachers. That is another characteristic of a maturely mature Christian. You do not sit back and expect to receive all the time as a mature Christian. As a mature Christian, you're itching to pass on what Christ has already taught you. You're going like, I want to share this. I'm so happy and excited about this. You don't have to do all these actions that I do. I know I'm a bit crazy and mad about this. But any mature Christian is expected to teach in whatever setting is the most appropriate. You don't need to be a scholar. You don't have to have gone to Bible college. You don't have to have done X, Y, and Z. It's about passing on your knowledge. And I think, seriously, we're missing a trick with our older generation who are sitting here full of life knowledge, of understanding, of experiences, of being able to trust God in challenging circumstances. We need to rope them in more, especially with our younger generation. The younger ones need to sit at the feet of these older generation and listen to their stories. So they can learn from that, and it's also a great purpose. I mean, I'm already quite old now, but there are people who are a lot wiser in this church than I am. So please consider this. And last but not least, a mature Christian has the right priorities. Let me remind you of our church motto: love God, love others, make disciples. That's our church motto. And that's a shorthand for the two greatest commandments and the Great Commission. Are you aware that the first commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, expresses God's desire for us to be totally sold out for him? Everything is sold out to him. Absolutely everything, and that is upward looking to God. And the second commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the third commandment, my paraphrase of the Great Commission, as you go, make disciples of all people groups, because there's only one command, make disciples. The going is implied. So these two commands, they are both outward looking. They're outward looking. That is our task as our church. We do not exist for ourselves. We exist to make Christ known. Of course, we want to make Christ known in the church, to the children and to the teenagers and the seekers, those who don't know Christ yet, who are in here. But our purpose is to make Christ known out there. That is our purpose. Second Corinthians 5:19b to 20 makes it crystal clear. God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Isn't this absolutely astonishing? God has limited himself largely to us to make the gospel known. Wow. Wow. Slightly scary as well, isn't it? Anybody scared about that? It's us. And here in the UK, for the most part, but not exclusively, witnessing needs to be based on relationships. Relationships were mentioned plenty of times. Build relationships. Once you have the respect of your neighbor, your friend, your work colleague, they are far more likely to listen to you. And they will observe you anyway. They're watching you. It's like, so this guy is a Christian? Right, let's just see if what they're saying matches up with their behavior. They do that all the time. All the time. I don't know how easy you find it to share with people about being reconciled to God. If this doesn't come natural to you, maybe it's because you are shy. Or maybe you don't feel very confident. Or maybe you're just too exhausted from the struggles of life. Life's just too much. It's just like, I just get through every day and that's enough. Thank you very much, Jesus, for sustaining me today, but nothing else. I just can't take it. Or maybe you're not relishing the reaction you might get. Can I encourage you to allow God to change you? I'm the living proof. You will say? You gotta be kidding me. As a teenager and even growing up being at university, I was extremely shy and insecure. I never thought I was good enough, ever. That only changed a little bit when I became a Christian, and then it took years for me to be changed and transformed into somebody that I am now. You think maybe I should have gone back to the old person. Poor Diane has to cope with me, you know. She's very strong-willed, you know, and I need that. Otherwise, goodness knows what I would be doing. So it took me time to live out Hebrews 13, verse 6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? In a positive way, I really don't care what people think about me. I really don't. It doesn't bother me what people think. Because at the end of the day, I'm responsible to God. And if I'm trying to do my best in front of other people, and if I'm willing to be corrected, if I'm willing to be changed, then that's it, isn't it? What more? Let us all work together on this. If you find it difficult, maybe have a chat in your home groups about this. See how you can support and help and encourage one another with this. May Christ ooze out of us in word and deed, because our confidence is in him. He will enable us. He will empower us. He will give us the right words to say, and he will make us compassionate for the lost world. If you do not have any compassion for the lost world in a huge amount, ask Jesus to give you more for it. It's only he who can do that. You can't humanly manufacture that. Okay? That has to come from Christ. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to grow into mature believers who love your scriptures, control our thought life, have discernment, teach others, and become ardent ambassadors of your message of eternal life. Fill us with your spirit anew, Lord Jesus. Give us that passion to want to devour your scriptures. Give us that passion to want to reach out to a lost world. And give us that confidence because we are rooted in you. Amen.